It's Thursday, February 5th, 2015, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the show about retro video games and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to episode 96. Doom, 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 doomy, doom, doom. Oh, wait, Star Wars. Runtime for this episode is 48 minutes. Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast where there has been an awakening. My name is Jeremy.
I don't understand that reference. I'm Tyler.
And I'm...
Background music.
That's the one.
you're a theme song?
Ed.
Really, I thought you were John Williams, our background music.
Who's John Williams?
He's the guy that writes the music.
He wrote
music.
Star Wars and Indiana Jones and Superman, all the music in all of those movies.
He's a composer.
Music.
He's won a lot of awards. He's Zach.
Yeah, I'm Zach.
It's a sad
I'm surprised you didn't know who John Williams was, and I did.
Especially considering how up I am on music, which is kind of
weird.
Well,
he's a little ways off now since, you know, Star Wars came out in 1970.
And Jurassic Park.
77, I think.
Yeah, but he's been around for a long time.
Man.
Yeah. He does a lot of movie composing.
He's done pretty much all the good movie scores.
Mostly just for Spielberg and Lucas, but yeah.
But those are some pretty good scores, to be fair.
The best scores probably came from him at one point or another.
I mean, there are other guys who are really good. Danny Elfman was pretty good. He hasn't done much lately.
Nobuo Uematsu.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is.
Final Fantasy.
Hans Zimmer is really, really good. I really like him.
He's pretty good.
Anyway, that is a reference to the new Star Wars trailer, so put that in the...
Oh,
sure
there's
nice.
Been an awakening. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. I saw that. And then there was like...
Then people are running.
And there was the hilt crossguard lightsaber. And then Colbert explained how it worked.
I remember
it
that.
It sounds like only Colbert could explain how that worked. So it's sad that he's gone because we need this service.
He'll be back.
As the Colbert Report, though?
No.
He's dropping his persona, and I feel like that's a bad career move.
I think it's fine that he drops his persona, but I would have liked him to keep it like as a bit that he did.
He might. You never know.
That is true. He might. I don't know how he's going to be running.
What they are.
Yeah. Anyway. We do a podcast every week where we talk about an old video game after we talk about what we've been playing for way longer than that. And we have no constructive commentary on said video game despite my attempts.
I mean, we try.
Despite my attempts. Tyler, what have you been trying to play?
That game with the stuff. So I finished Phoenix Wright, the one with Apollo Justice. It is, my God, the plot twist at the end. It is the plot twistiest twist. Although, Alex finished Azran Legacy last night, too, and that has some pretty ass-pull plot twists at the end.
Were you a ghost the entire time, and it was your sled, and he was your father?
No, it wasn't Rosebud.
Spoilers.
and Snape killed Dumbledore?
I think I mentioned last week, Happel T. There was a comic recently where, like, Hades is like, yeah, the new Harry Potter book finally arrived, and he starts reading, and he's like, wait, Dumbledore's down here? God damn it!
Slight tangent. Have you seen a Harry Potter musical?
I've not. I've heard it's pretty
funny.
You
and Alex should watch that sometime. I just watched a Harry Potter senior year, which is the last one. It's not very good, except for it has the person who played Luna Lovegood in the movies as Luna Lovegood.
That's cool.
And they do Kingsley Shacklebolt, and the way they portray him is Samuel L. Jackson as Kingsley Shacklebolt. He's like, Harry Potter, what are you doing down here on the Wizard Cops? I don't need no fool kids doing my job.
Sick and tired of these. Okay, never mind. So I finished that. I played a lot more Payday. I'm like level 65 again. So
yay.
Haven't been playing like any Smash because Alex has been using the DS. So and I don't play it on the Wii super often. I'm sure I played other games. I just don't even remember.
Was it a computer game?
Probably.
Was it Monokamiya?
No. Yeah.
Was it very civilized?
No. No, I talked about Civilization. Apparently, I can't remember the other game I've been playing.
You probably will halfway through Zach and interrupt him.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I feel like it's better if we interrupt. That way we don't get the same person talking too much.
All right, Ed, what have you been playing?
Not a whole lot. I've been playing a lot of all my stuffs here, so let's play Tetris with all my stuff.
Oh, man, you can't play Tetris without your stuff. What would even form the lines?
And also, I started playing a little bit of Wolfenstein The New Order.
Oh, here, that's really good. And by really good, I mean okay, but 2014 was a pretty mad year for video games.
It's kind of cool. Also, I think I need a new computer because it's right there at the edge of my laptop's abilities.
I remembered a thing. No, I'm going to be doing Affected? Is that what it's called? It's a game made for the Oculus Rift. It's a survival horror experience,
I think.
Oh, that
sounds exciting.
I kind of watched like a playthrough, so I kind of like vaguely know it, but it's also procedurally generated, so it's not the same every time you play. But you have a Rift, and you go through it, and I'm also doing it with a haptic feedback thing. So, like, all the things that you interact with in the game that you normally do with a controller, I'm going to be able to do it on, like, the treadmill thing with, like, the haptic feedback gloves and everything, so...
Wait, you have a Rift?
I don't have a Rift. I'm going to a place to do this.
Oh, okay.
So, and then I also get to talk to the developers of the game, and...
This is super exciting.
It is super exciting, and this is at an entrepreneurial event, of all things. So, I'm part of a... Alex's dad forced me to sign up for this thing that is entrepreneurial stuff, and their theme for the week of the 2nd is virtual reality. And specifically, they're having a bunch of people who develop games for the Rift come and give talks about it and stuff. So, turns out two of them develop in Boulder, so...
Oculus Rift development is pretty spread out, actually.
Yeah, well, that's because it's just a thing, and you can do it pretty much wherever, so...
It's not really a thing until this Christmas, so...
That is true. Although, did you see the, speaking of the Rift, did you guys see the ad for the, Microsoft, not a Rift?
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen that one. I heard it was terrible. Like, oh, no, that's the Windows 10 thing I'm thinking.
No, yeah, that's...
Now, it's like augmented reality all the time.
Yeah, no, they're... Well, I mean...
So it's Google Glass.
That's what we're moving towards.
I think
Google
has banned it.
I think we're just going to eventually make it implants rather than a giant bulky thing you wear on your head. It's called, like...
I kind of want to have a giant bulky thing on my head.
It's...
Man, we've come a long way. Remember gift certificates?
What?
That's like my technology base whenever everyone complains about technology. Remember gift certificates?
Oh, man. I was going
to
say...
Like, had to, like, cash them in. They had expiration dates.
Remember how we didn't have cell phones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember how beating somebody to death with a cell phone was actually a thing you could do?
Anyway, yeah. Microsoft is doing their own not a Rift, and it actually looks
pretty
good. So
is Sony, and so is Samsung, so that's not actually surprising. Although Samsung actually uses Oculus Rift technology.
But I'm excited for this because there's going to be a lot of, I guess, motion-reactive 3D game development going on, and that's something I want in on. And they do development in Boulder, so I might have a new job soon.
The one thing that I'm a little hesitant about is there's three of the four are using vastly different technologies from each other. So I'm wondering how much of this is going to be locking you in to whichever...
That is entirely... Well, especially if there's going to be a substantial code change to port it. Theoretically, you write your code in such a way that you just write a layer on top of it to interface
well,
between
I'm
them.
Well, I'm so glad that Windows has never done anything bad that would make it hard to be compatible.
I Sony, know!
Like, have you seen the way the PS3 works?
No.
No?
It's like... I'll have to send you a video. It's they intentionally designed it to be hard to port from.
Yeah. Huh.
Because they assumed that since the PS2 had such great market share, that would carry over to the PS3, and they could snuff out Xbox in the crib.
Totally missing the point there.
And not to mention that they...
No, well, they had this other perfect plan where they would put Blu-ray players in the PS3 to help boost that over HD DVD, which actually did win. So that actually worked out well. But the two plans together made that PS3 too expensive to gain market share. So it totally backfired. That's why there were not many PS3 games for a while. They got saved by the fact that the Red Ring of Death made a lot of people think, hey, maybe I'll buy a PS3.
And all PS3 the price crap drops. Games for the Wii.
Well, Wii sales were fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the problem is for people who are looking at 360 PS3, the Wii did not do a whole lot to try and pull those guys in off for that market.
They had
but we didn't have to worry about it because they had all the casual people.
Now, I was more referring to the fact that because the Wii sold so well, there were a bunch of really bad games made, and people bought them because they had never experienced buying video games before, so they didn't, like, know how to judge a good game.
That's definitely true. I don't know if there are actually more bad games for the Wii than the Xbox 360 or PS3, though. Just that they were so much more bad because motion controls are so obvious.
Well, they had some of them, like Star Wars Force Unleashed was made wildly worse on the Wii, where it was actually a pretty serviceable game on the 360 and PS3.
I mean, that's pretty generous, I think. But yes, it is worse on the Wii.
Part of that is the Wii didn't have nearly the graphical strength or polygon count that the others did.
Which is what the Wii U is falling into right now, sadly.
Yeah.
To the point where I think Nintendo announced they're developing a new console.
What?
I thought they said they weren't going to do that.
I think they said it's being developed. That doesn't mean It's going to come out anytime soon.
I mean, to be fair, it usually takes them like 3 to 4 years to do this anyway. Nintendo has been the worst at naming things. Anyway.
Yeah, oh yeah, the new 3DS is unforgivable.
The Revolution was a better name than the Wii.
It's super well, on the Wii U, they had Dolphin and Revolution still in the pile of names, and they went with Wii U.
Also, I mean, new 3DS?
Yeah, the Wii U, I think, is fine. It's not a great name, but okay. But yeah, the new 3DS is unforgivable. I am the pretty guardian of love and justice, and in the name of the moon, I will punish you for this, Nintendo. How dare you give confusing names to consoles for consumers. Innocent young girls will buy the wrong thing and be disappointed when they can't play their video games.
The new 3DS was a fine name for Japan, because it's, we'll take an American word and stick it on the front of our title.
That's actually the American name for it.
The name is New 3DS. Like, yes. Actually the name?
Yes.
And it, but in Japan, it's New 3DS.
Which, like, that's fine. They stuck an American word on it. It could have been Cow 3DS. It sounds cool. But the thing is, Nintendo has never been afraid to change a title when it brought it over. And Castlevania is not Dracula Castle X Demon Bondo of Doom.
The 3DS Kai sounds pretty cool. I want a 3DS Kai. Can I get a 3DS Kai Char Custom? Because yes, I want that.
Are the games going to be compatible?
Some of them will be, but there will be it's going to have like, a better processor and more buttons.
Monster Hunter 4, for example, requires the extra buttons.
So certain games aren't going
to
be.
The Court of Xenoblade is going to be the first one that's exclusive to the new 3DS.
Yep.
Hmm. So another Nintendo console I will ignore.
Yeah,
got
until
it.
Until there's something you want so bad that you buy it.
Yes.
Didn't they say they're making a Fire Emblem?
The special edition one of it.
I have not heard any Fire Emblem announcements, except for Fire Emblem X.
I couldn't be thinking of that one.
Additionally, Nintendo of North America decided that they're not going to do the not XL version of this thing, and everyone's like, why not? And they're like, because we didn't think there was a market share, and literally everyone I have ever seen who is interested in this thing at all does not want the XL one, partially because the smaller one you can buy interchangeable faceplates for, and they don't make them for the big one.
And the bigger one, I can't really tell, but a lot of people can tell the pixels have been stretched, and they really don't like the way it looks because of that.
I can't tell the difference.
No, I can't either, but I know a lot of people who can.
I haven't looked, but I probably couldn't tell the difference. But there was a time when I couldn't tell the difference between like a blue, like a 1080 or 720 yellow. Like my brother's like, this one's totally brighter. I'm like, I can't tell the difference. I'm not sure what you're talking about.
We're reaching the limits of the human's eye's ability to perceive these things. We're going to 4,000 pixel or 4,000p resolution. And like, that's beyond the limit of human vision.
My 400 FPS league.
Yeah, exactly. You need all those frames. That's faster than your screen refreshes.
Well, you see, the thing is, if you've got resolution greater than the human eye, that means you can just make it bigger.
That is true. And then it would look less crap. Yeah. So.
All right. So, Ed, aside from Nintendo's naming conventions, anything else you've been playing?
We've been playing Nintendo's.
No other electronic games. I did get into another miniatures game. Which is
it Heroclix?
No.
But in Heroclix, you can have the Blue Eyes White Dragon fight Picard, who's fighting Superman, who's fighting Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah.
And Ezio Delatorre is there for some reason.
And technically, they also made Star Trek Heroclix.
Picard was in there.
No. They have Star Trek ship battle Heroclix that use the same rules.
Yeah.
So theoretically, you could have the Enterprise flying in the middle of that.
Yeah.
You can have almost every one of those clicks.
Does that mean that you could have Picard fighting the physical Enterprise?
Yes, I think so.
I think MechWarrior is the only one that can't be easily ported to
it's not the only
work
one.
With them.
The Halo ones don't really work, and the first set of Star Trek ones didn't work either, and I don't remember what that was, but that's people were very upset about that, and that's when they said, okay, everything's going to be compatible from now on. So everything for the past like 3 years has been...
Fan battle the game.
Yeah.
No, this was the X-Wing Mugen miniature game that I've been playing from Fantasy Flight.
It's a good game. It's a lot of fun. I've actually played quite a bit of it, given that...
Do they have it in Collector Mania?
A few of the guys I play with have a bunch of pieces. One of the guys I play with has a lot of pieces, and so we just build armies out of the stuff he's got. TIE swarms are fun.
I hear tell Ed's going to bring it to our next game night, so...
Okay, maybe I'll play it. I'm considering bringing that one shot I ran, or I stole from someone in Rome.
Feng Shui?
No, the Pulp Cthulhu one. But I don't know if I can actually get people to play it there.
Oh, the one with the doctor. I mean, Alex would be on board with that.
Yeah, I think
know.
I can sell it, but I don't know.
Also, Ed, if you do take that...
Dan is kind of morally
run teams
opposed to tabletops.
Or 1v1, because it does not handle free-for-all as well.
probably
won't. No, I know for a fact it doesn't. We've tried it. It does not do free-for-alls well.
We'll try it anyway.
Well, you can try it. It's not going to work, but you can try it. Dibs on the Decimator.
Well, so what gate?
Can you buy a World Devastator mini?
Nope.
Ah.
It's Star Wars X-Wing. It's dogfights. You don't have Devastators. Yeah. They're on the planets. You also don't have a V-Wing.
Yeah, but World Devastators, I feel, could probably go into space. There was a Star Wars book where Emperor Palpatine built a thing called the Galaxy Gun that shot Death Star blasts across the galaxy at other people.
No. Did he hire Vegeta to power it?
If I remember correctly, Palpatine didn't build the Galaxy Gun.
I think it was one of his clones.
I don't think he...
I'm glad
none
of this is canon.
I don't think the Empire built the Galaxy Gun. I think that was just something that people found.
I don't know, but I've been listening to a campaign podcast. It's an RPG campaign where one of the characters is a clone named Bacta, because the clones don't have names, and he was a medic. And whenever they talk about Star Wars canon, they do the podcast within a podcast, Back to Basics, and they were talking about the Galaxy Gun there.
They could be right. It's been a long time since I had anybody talk about the Galaxy Gun.
We could look it up on Wikipedia.
We could, but we won't right now. Zach, what have you been playing, since it's not Galaxy Gunners? It just sounds like it would be fun,
it
but...
It kind of does. A little bit of the same things I was playing last time. League of Legends, SimCiv, Payday.
I don't mean to interrupt, but have either of you seen Screen Cheat on Steam?
I've never even heard of
it. I've heard of it, yeah. What it is that game... Well, you remember how when we were ever playing Halo?
Yeah.
People looking at my screen because I was the one person anyone was concerned about.
Well, it's a first-person shooter that's very gaudy colors, so you can always tell where people are. Everyone is invisible. The only way to tell where people are is by looking at their screens.
So, if it's on Steam...
I'm not sure if it's on Steam or the Xbox One.
Okay. No, it's definitely on Steam.
Okay.
How would you... Like, you need to be local,
right? I think it would be one
right?
of those situations where you have your screen, but you can see everyone else's screens is still echoed.
I've been told it's only same screen, multiplayer. There's no, like, online...
Oh, then...
I assume
you have
to have one of the connectors like I have that will sync four 360 controllers. Or just have four USB ports. Anyway, sorry to interrupt. League, Legends, Payday.
The Galaxy Gun
Payday.
Produced 10 years after the Battle of Yavin by the reborn Emperor Palpatine.
So you were right.
Galaxy Gun, fire!
Still not as much as the Sun Crusher.
Yeah, well, no, there are plenty of super weapons. And the World Devastators, and the Star Forge.
None of them are nearly as powerful as the most devastating weapon of all time that destroyed entire universe of extended canon. The Disney editorial pen.
That is a pretty powerful one. The in that game, Ed, the X-Wing miniatures game, which I've also played a bunch, they actually are inventing a ship for the sole purpose of that game.
Okay.
Because they made the big ship, right? The Tantive IV, the blockade runner. Well, the Imperials didn't have something that small.
True.
The closest thing they had that would fit in the scale of the thing that they made. Huh?
The Lambda Lander?
No, that's actually in the game, but is not at this scale.
I thought they had some mid-range cruisers that are in, like,
the
RTS
is,
games.
Well, yes.
They're between Star Destroyers and...
That's the problem. Is the closest thing into the scale of this was the Lancer-class frigate.
Yeah.
Which was, like, 270 meters too big for this ship scale.
Plus, the Empire has skip-ray blast boats. What do they need any stupid Tantive force for?
But they're creating a ship that's on that scale of a Corvette. And they're releasing it in the next couple of weeks.
Is it called the Galaxy Gunner?
No, it is not.
Can I name mine the Galaxy Gunner? Okay.
If you want to spend the $100
Wars,
on it.
The PC ship is going to be called the Galaxy Gunner.
And
for
Cody
irony,
will not
for
be in charge of it.
Maximum irony, it's not going to have any guns.
Then you're not going to have a party on board that ship, because we will be putting more guns on it.
I mean, you'll have to get the guns from my cold, dead GM hands.
How hard
or more
was...
likely the cold hands of my dead NPCs.
When in doubt, increase forward deflectors, ram.
Actually, in our last game, we never really used the guns that were on board our ship.
What's
we
minimum
had them,
distance you can do a warp hop?
But we didn't use them.
Too long to do the Picard maneuver.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
But yeah, we never actually used the guns that we had on our ship.
Man, the maneuvers in Star Trek are all super basic and stupid. Like, Kirk beats Khan by getting under him. Khan's like, oh no! Three dimensions! My weakness!
We've only had space flight for 500 years!
Like, man, what if I went at light speed over there, and then over there, and then over there, and then over there, and then I shot them?
It works for the Flash.
Well, yes, but the Flash is the only one capable of moving that quickly.
The other guys are like, okay, not... Okay, let me go back a step. The Picard maneuver is you go so fast you leave an after image.
Yes.
Well, kind of... Actually, Dragon Ball Z does that all the time. And then they're like, oh no, there's the Enterprise in front of us, fire, because they apparently don't read their damn sensors that tell them it's not there anymore.
Maybe the sensors are slower?
Why are they even looking on the screen?
Why
is,
there a bridge window?
I don't know! It's actually not a window. It's like a camera that they project
onto. The Millennium Falcon
it.
Has a window, but the Enterprise doesn't.
The Millennium Falcon is also not a cruiser. It's a freighter.
I like in Gundam where radar doesn't work anymore, and also because it's based on World War II, so they just have inflatable balloons, a lot of mobile suits in the fingers that look like them, so they'll hide among them or use them as distractions. It's awesome.
Why doesn't radar work?
Because they invented a particle that interferes with radar, and it got, like, spread all over the Earth sphere.
Oh.
You mean electrons?
They're called Minkowski particles.
You
have to spread them to combat density so that you...
I like how in Destiny, or not in Destiny, in Gundam Seed, all the ship's guns are named after operas.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Wagner?
There's the Lohengrins, the Tannhauser, the Valiants. The missiles are wombats and hell darts.
Yeah.
Fire the wombats!
Yep.
God, no, those are ferrets!
What are the... Big cannons, like the main guns?
The Lohengrin.
Oh, yeah, that's what they're the Lohengrin.
I believe the Minervis is the Tannhauser.
Which is from Destiny, so we don't talk about that.
I talk about Destiny. I want to redeem Destiny. I am so close to trying to convince you guys to do a spinoff podcast where we watch every episode of Gundam and then discuss it. So close. I'd have to edit it, though.
I think I'm busy. But that's it. Just some Payday, some League, some Civ 5, a little bit of Fire Emblem.
I played a little more tight, I think, one more turn of Garen's Greed. I can't kick this freaking AU out of Jaburo. I keep sending more Gundams. And
even after nuking
nukes. More nukes.
I don't
play
have
like
more
Tyler.
Nukes. You can't actually more use dots. Nukes except for when the story lets you.
Huh.
You can use your giant laser, but I haven't finished it yet. And I don't think you can target Earth with it.
You know what you can target Earth with?
A colony.
Yeah, I don't have that option in this campaign, despite being evil.
You're doing it wrong.
Only Garen gets to do that, and Char. Char also gets the Char custom Gundam.
He's got a Gundam?
Is that
in
a
this
thing?
Game. It's for this game.
Okay.
But
okay.
If
is
you
it painted
Gundam,
red?
Yes.
Yes!
What's the one that
Does
he has
it go
in,
faster?
Gundam? In Dynasty Wars Gundam.
He's got a lot. The Zeong?
No, not the Zeong.
The Sasabi?
Yeah.
That is super high tech level. You can get it, but it's way better than the Gundam. There's a lot of in between there.
Okay, like I wasn't sure.
I like the Sasabi.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, but it's one of the highest tech level things. It's not as high as the Alpha Azeru, which is awesome.
I feel like they just picked random letters out of alphabets, and that's what they started naming
a lot of them. So a little bit of that, a little more Dynasty Warriors Gundam, nothing to really report there. Bravely Default, I'm doing that vampire side quest and grinding levels.
I thought you were going to say something about grinding the vampire, and I was going to be curious.
Oh, well, you know, that's after hours.
So in the morning, because he's a vampire, and therefore he's up at night, and... Okay, never mind.
He wants to suck my blood. Anyway.
I'll just leave that hanging there.
Okay, thank
like
you.
Like a low-hanging fruit.
More Smash Bros. To try and unlock all the characters and do all the challenges.
Have you still unlocked all the characters?
Yeah, I assume Duck Hunt's going to get unlocked at some point, but it's not yet.
It is the last one, to be fair.
I have not, like, looked up how to get him. I'm just waiting for it to happen.
Play enough Smash?
Yeah, I thought that was it.
I don't know how I did it. It might be do challenges.
That's what I'm doing currently. Let's see. What else have I been playing? Something. League is fun. I get to kill noobs. Get killed by people who are better than me and call me noob.
Silly noobs. Oh, that was what I was playing, and that's why I didn't mention it, because it's been a while. Never mind.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm interrupting you instead of Zach.
Okay, but you didn't tell us what it was.
No. It was the Attack on Titan fan game. It's received
okay,
a lot of
course.
Updates recently, so.
Huh. Of course! No time for a frickin' Super Robot Wars. I gotta finish it. I'm so close. Garen from Seed. Patrick Zala, that's his name. Totally gonna super laser Earth.
And that's bad.
Yeah, and crazy anti-coordinator guy is gonna nuke him. And it's gonna be sad for everyone.
Cool.
Lasers.
Yeah, I think that might be it for me. I feel like there was something I was holding on to, too, but I can't remember now.
My Hatiful Boyfriend. Hatiful? I don't know.
What?
I thought, is it even Boyfriend? I was under the impression you played a guy in that game, and you're trying
you
to get a pigeon girlfriend.
No, you're a human. They're all pigeons.
You tricked them into thinking that you're you belong there.
Because they're pigeons and therefore...
Just like in Rosario plus Vampire, the guy goes to the school for monsters even though he's not a monster. I know way too much about Rosario plus Vampire. I've only seen two episodes.
I've heard things about it, that mostly about its accent. I've encountered it before.
I've read most of the comic.
It's definitely got a succubus with some sweater puppies who uses them to hypnotize people.
Like, as a pendulum, or, I mean, how does that work?
I don't know. I've not watched any of the anime.
There's no cleavage. It's a sweater over it.
They're just big.
Yeah.
They are in high school, though, and they are monsters, so I imagine the hormone levels are...
Anyway, that's more than enough Rosario plus Vampire talk for the life of this podcast.
Agreed.
We'll be back next week with more talk from Jeremy about Rosario plus Vampire.
Man, maybe instead of the Gundam one, we should do Rosario plus Vampire so we can all just sort of be here looking at each other awkwardly and no longer joking about...
Callback.
All right, so I guess let's move on to the assignment. Doom, 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 Doom Wars.
Doom with Forces. Doom.
I like this game.
You're the only one.
I mean, it's Doom with a Star Wars skin, and that's my entire contribution to this discussion.
The music, instead of rip-off Metallica, is not quite...
Uncanny Valley John Williams?
Yeah, it's this thing where it sounds way better than any console game, but me and Tyler have talked about how we like chiptunes, so we like hearing people remix old songs or do songs in that style. This one is at that level where it doesn't sound like that style and has no redeeming value, it's just bad. And it's way better than the old stuff, but it's not there yet.
Well, it's like the Uncanny Valley of... string instruments.
That's why I called it the Uncanny Uncanny John Williams.
I mean, it's...
You can recognize what it's supposed to be, but it lacks even the charm that the Star Wars A New Hope on
Super Nintendo had.
But,
like I said, I like that rendition of that song. You can tell what it is, but it also it was like artfully
it's far
done.
Enough away.
I couldn't remember if it was Super Nintendo or Nintendo.
The in-level music isn't bad, actually.
Yeah, it fades in the background. So it's fine enough, but it's also not... Aw, man, John Williams wrote this. Yeah!
Shall we talk of the story about this?
Yeah, let's. Because that is the advantage it has over Doom. The story is not UM Marine Mars' bad demons fight.
Kill them all!
This is my favorite gun. I love this gun. A new gun!
Are you a bad enough guy to kill all the demons and not die?
Are you a bad enough dude?
This game is, I think, irrefutable proof that stories in games are... and gameplay is far more important. But
it's not irrefutable proof, but it is a point.
I mean, like...
I actually like the story.
But... No, I think the story's fine. That doesn't make this game better than Doom at all, is my point. But anyway, let's talk about the story. Because I think it is, at worst, fine. It's probably B-level Star Wars story.
It's unobtrusive, at the very least. I didn't know it was there.
It didn't try to explain away too many plot holes that didn't need to exist to begin with. Did you know that the stripe on Han Solo's pants has backstory?
Yeah, it's a Corellian blood stripe.
Have you seen Ice Cream Machine Guy?
What?
Oh yeah, that is awesome.
Ice Cream Machine Guy is totally sweet. And Desert Trooper Guy, who finds the piece, looks for droids.
Yeah.
He's got a backstory.
Why?
Why do these people don't need backstories? I mean, they have them.
Every prop or character that ever appeared on screen has at least three novels dedicated to it.
It's not that bad, but the Han Solo thing, yeah, I already knew about that.
Yeah.
What the hell is a Corellian blood stripe?
It's given for extreme courage, valor under determination in the Corellian military. Because the Corellians believe anybody can be a hero in the moment. Real valor comes from thinking it over, realizing how screwed you are, and doing it anyway.
I'd argue that's true.
Any Corellian that sees someone wearing the Corellian blood stripes who hasn't earned them can kill them on sight without repercussions.
Wait, what?
Yes. So
what?
If you wear Han Solo's pants, he can kill you without repercussions.
Wait, Han Solo can kill other people or the other way around?
Because he earned them while he was serving in the Imperial military alongside the Corellian military.
Wouldn't they have been revoked after he totally deserted with one of their Wookiees, though?
When he was being cashiered out of the Imperial...
Wait. Solo served in the Imperial military. Yeah.
Han Solo,
okay.
while fleeing...
to be a sweet pilot.
While fleeing Corsac, actually joined the Imperial military to get the Corellian security forces off of his ass.
The Civil War era is where they stopped using clones entirely for their population, right? Okay.
It's there sort was still of some, but that they slowly phased them out. But I don't mean to interrupt, but have you seen Jason Aaron's Star Wars comic that started last week?
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, it's so good. It starts with Han Solo pretending to be a smuggler for Jabba the Hutt.
As opposed infiltrating to actually the Imperial being military. A smuggler?
Well, this is right after A New Hope.
Okay.
So he's an ex-smuggler for Jabba the Hutt with a giant bounty on its head payable by Jabba the Hutt.
I'm planning on picking that up because since they've rebooted all the canon, right now it's all the movies, all three of them, and three hallucinations, two cartoon shows that I've watched, a book that I'm planning on starting to read, and the comics are the entirety of the canon.
But there is that thing I told you about where anything that's referenced becomes canon, and the Clone Wars cartoon brings a lot of canon with it because they were Star Wars fans that referenced a lot of stuff.
How exactly are they treating the X-Wing game? Because they have the non-canon license to make that.
No, is it coming out or did it come out?
The X-Wing tabletop game is coming and currently out.
Everything
I don't know.
Everything that came out before April, I want to say last April, is considered Star Wars Legends.
I think that's a Wikipedia term, not a Disney term.
No, that's if you go look at the reprints of the books, they literally put Legends at the top of it.
Okay.
That's their official, it's just...
Canon is anyway.
Yeah.
That is true. It's all in the head.
My version of Gundam Seed is the one where the guys from Martian successor Nadesco were there. And
I still like how Battletech treats canon. Everything that is made in Battletech is pretty much canon.
That was how Lucas did it. And, well, he was a mum-and-grubbing guy that didn't overly care for the cohesive universe.
Well, Battletech, like, all the stuff that they've done with it, like, there are a couple things that make absolutely no sense. They're canon, but they're a TV show.
Is canon.
I thought SCP was whatever you want is canon, and you should make up your own canon. Yes. And here's the thing for making up your own canon, bro.
Yeah, pretty much.
What's that?
SCP?
Secure, contain, protect.
It's like a wiki. It's fiction via wiki, basically.
It's basically horse horrors written from an extremely clinical perspective.
Most of them suck, but some of them are really good.
Of the almost 3,000 now, there are a couple hundred that are pretty good. So, by volume, they're good.
They also have pretty strict editorial standards to get it posted, so.
Yeah, in fact.
It's better than you'd expect.
I've run across some random ones that I'm like, did this even go through sandboxing? Of course, those ones already have like negative 70 points, so.
Yay, Redditing everything?
Yeah, pretty much.
Anyway.
What were we talking about?
Doom, 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 doom.
Yes.
So, Kylo Katarn goes to steal the Death Star plans to send the Princess Leia and gets lost in the Stormtrooper base for 5 hours.
And he's like, guys, how do you get around? Does one of you have a map? Can I leave that off your body?
There is a map screen.
There is? I never found it.
Yeah.
It's not the same button as in Doom.
No, yeah. A lot of the keys don't make sense. A lot of things that you would expect to be on a number key or like M is somewhere in the function keys.
Why is E open door?
That's fairly standard.
It's interacting a lot.
It was
shooters.
Weird when F was interact in Payday, because every other game I've played, E is interact
with
stuff.
E in
I actually
games,
remapped
yeah,
it.
But I was like, shift? No, okay. Like, I tried like six other keys first. I did find it. But I first gave up and was like, well, I guess this isn't a panel I can interact with. Well, there's nothing else here, so I guess it is.
Yeah, the key bindings are really random, and also, because it's running in DOSBox, a pain to edit.
Yep. Well, and they're not, the game doesn't allow you to edit them, so you have to go and, like, run a third-party key map bind thing.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
But, yeah, they had a headlamp, night vision goggles, a map screen, an inventory screen.
All these things would have been super useful.
Yeah.
It would be nice if I could even see what the controls were anywhere.
Yeah, but maybe, like, I actually don't think Doom has any tutorial, but it was simple enough, the key bindings all worked.
No, you can actually look up the key bindings in Doom, though. You could change them if you wanted to.
Well, you can look them up
I
on
could
the
look
Steam
them up online.
Forum.
But mine was on 360 for Doom, so.
Now, my biggest problem with this game, and I had this problem with Doom, but I found the map button in Doom, which helps, is it doesn't do a great job funneling you. And, I mean, that's because the levels are kind of open, which is neat. Well, but on the other hand, like, I got lost for probably 20 minutes because I had thought I had been everywhere on the map already.
Well, there were only four or five places that I really got lost. And one of those is because I didn't realize there was a crouch button.
In this game, I got lost on the first level.
Yep.
For about a half an hour, then said, I'm bored, this is stupid, and quit.
I beat it.
I was never lost in Doom.
I wouldn't say I was never lost in Doom, but it was definitely not until at least level 6. Doom has... lacks a difficulty curve, and, I mean, the game isn't hard from the start, but it's confusing and you don't know where to go from the start. Doom's first level is like a straight hall, and then there's a turn, and then you leave, and then the next level has, like, a dead end somewhere, and it's very gentle, and eventually you get the levels that are maze-like, but you have a map that you can check, and you said there was one in this that we didn't find, because we're idiots who didn't give this game enough time, but...
No, I think I gave this enough time.
I mean,
but it might have been Tab.
Like, there was one level that involved a lot of teleporters, which took me a while to figure out where I was, where I wanted to go. But I was never actually lost. I knew where I was. I just didn't know where I was needed to go.
Doom also does a good job of earning your trust by giving you those super straightforward levels at the start. And Doom also, maybe this game has it too. Doom has a lot of hidden areas that if you're the sort of guy who likes Mario hidden areas,
this game has that.
It also tells you how much percentage of the hidden stuff you found.
But you didn't beat the first level and neither did I, and that's where it tells you, so for all I know, it does.
Okay.
Shadows of the Empire has that too, actually. That was actually one of my favorite parts of that game, and actually I like that in this game. There were a number of nooks and crannies that I went to, but unfortunately I found them mostly out of desperation as I was trying to find the way to actually progress the level.
Finding things through exploration, because you don't know where you're going, is not finding something through exploration because you want to explore. You're lost and you're trying to find where you need to go.
And
that's different from exploring for the sake of exploring.
I feel like the first level was the worst for that. There were a couple other places
that the first level.
Yeah. There were a couple of spots that were kind of weird that way further on, but I feel like the first level was definitely the worst for that.
Yeah, you need to expand it. Like Jeremy said, in Doom, the first level is a straight hallway. And so you know where you're going and you get kind of trained in that idea of where am I being shot from? Okay, I have to go that way. Whereas this one, you walk outside and it's a circular crater and you have no idea where you're going.
And you have to do vertical in the first level. You have to get up to the top of that crater and
flip some switches.
And that's as far as I got.
You need to make it to the first level, not because people are idiots, for the sake of your level design. That way, you know, people are more willing to be on board when you get a little bit more expansive and start adding more and more to it.
Well, it's a matter of investment, right? Like, if I've already put an hour into this game and feel like I'm progressing, then I'm going to want to continue going even if the next one's kind of difficult. If you start off that way, I feel like this teaches us something about game design. Make the first 10 minutes of your game the
most entertaining that you can, which is why almost every game that I can think of now has some kind of conflict at the beginning of the game.
That's even why I kind of like the Metroid starting with all your power-ups thing, because it's showing you a little taste of everything. You're doing the most basic puzzle for every action, basically. Jump over this super easy-to-jump ledge. Grapple over this incredibly easy grapple point. And so you see all your cool stuff, and you understand the very basics of how to use it.
And then you lose all of it.
So they don't have to tutorialize as much later. And you have this, oh, I want my stuff back. Take this, Ridley. Give me my damn grapple shot.
Why were you the main character of Aliens? Actually, she was, never mind. Yep, Ridley is a play on Ripley.
Yeah.
I feel like I didn't give this game as much time as I should have, because the first level was frustrating. I'm like, yep, that game's Doom. But on the other hand, I really like Star Wars licensed things, even if they are just Doom.
So yeah, Ed, what was the story? Because I think that could be interesting.
After you get the Death Star plans, you find out about the Empire is making Dark Troopers. So you
like Star Wars Battlefront 2 Dark Troopers? Or
yeah, this is where they originate. Yeah.
Oh, really?
So you have to go track down to various bases and, you know, various detective things, you know, figure out where it's coming from. So, you know, you've got one where you're like, they've got this kind of gun.
A droid walked into my office. No, it was all legs. Well, it had a beautiful golden coat.
Well, it's more like, they're getting guns for these things. Here's a weapons guy that you can go shoot, kill, and interrogate.
In that order.
Well, yeah, you do walk into the room and shoot him, and then you're like, okay, so we found this stuff.
And I mean,
then, like, you find armor, fragments, and you're like, okay, this is coming from this kind of mine. So you go to the mine and blow it up. There are at least 4 times when you're flying away from a thing, and as you're flying away from the planet, you can see the explosion from space.
Well, that's just Star Wars.
Yeah.
Explosions in space. Michael Bay in space.
Something about this is reminding me really a lot of Daikatana.
But yeah, they've got different stages. Like, the first stage is like the Terminator, and then they put armor on it at some point.
And this is a point that I want to make about gameplay being 1,000 times more important than story. Because getting frustrated with the gameplay early on and not making it through the level, I didn't care how Kyle Katarn found the Death Star plans.
So, to some extent, like, I mean, Phoenix Wright, I care way more about the actual story. Like, the gameplay is pretty minor.
Yeah, Super Robot Wars, I care way better about the story than the game. But the game at least got me in.
It's playable.
It's playable, and even though I don't really want to play it anymore, I wanted to play it for long enough to get invested into the story and want to see how it concludes. Dot Hack was the same way. It was fun for about 20 hours. It was an 80-hour game.
Yeah.
But I wanted to see the story conclude.
I never did finish that.
I really got invested in the story, but I made it through the first level fairly easily. A lot of the getting lost, once you turn on the overlay map, it's, oh, that's the part of the map I haven't been to yet.
So why don't they tell you that?
I'm sure if there was a manual, it would.
Okay, that's fair.
Why doesn't the game itself tell you that?
Well, this is still in the era where they didn't really do that, and you were expected to read the manual, and it was 200 pages, so it was, you know, kind of like a novel. It was part of the buying experience. But Steam doesn't do a very good job of saying, hey, there's a manual here. Yeah. Even with XCOM, where they had it, they don't really advertise it.
Yeah. But I've just went onto the Steam forums and somebody had posted up all the key bindings, so that really helped me.
I probably should have done that. I think that would have helped my experience with this game.
Yeah, me too. But I also do kind of agree tutorializing is important, and it's super easy to have an overlay that just says, press tab for a super cool map.
Yeah. I think we've learned that lesson in the past 20 years.
I'm more than willing to give old games a UI hadn't been invented yet.
I have trouble with that because I have trouble with the section in between, like, Mario and Mega Man are self-teaching, right? You go right because it's the only way you can go. And some are definitely better at it than others. But there's this gulf in between where this game falls, where they've gotten too complicated for that, but they haven't really invented tutorializing yet.
Yeah, I can see that. But really, all it needs to fix that is one picture that's got all the key bindings on it. So whether or not that's included in the game, or
they expect you to... That's a lot of information to take in at once. I do genuinely think it's better if you spend your first level, you know, with the Far Cry Blood Cry. Ha ha, we put the implant in your brain into tutorial mode, so now it won't let you jump until you walk for, and then run, and then jump. And the whole time you're like, oh my god, I know how to jump, you stupid program. Ah! Like, those are stupid and hackneyed, but they... are there for a reason.
Yeah, but if you're going to do it by a giant picture with all the keys, I would much rather that not be in the game so that I can have it sitting next to me so I go, oh, there it is, like a quick reference guide.
Well, yeah, but I would rather they teach you one thing at a time. I'd rather they have a ledge be the first thing you encounter and then be like, press space to jump. And then you go to like a hallway with two directions. It's like, press tab for your super sweet map.
Like how most of our... games do their tutorials now.
I really wanted to do like Spec Ops The Line or something like that where it's doing the tutorial and it's press right trigger and it doesn't tell you what right trigger does and then you totally shoot an innocent person and then it's like, why did you do that?
No, I think the ultimate is in Call of Duty. Press A to pay respects.
It's X, thank you. Press X to pay respects.
I think it's A on the 360 and X on the
I believe that.
PlayStation.
I like how we have three different consoles and X is in a different location on all of them.
For maximum confusion. Operation X of Confusion from Red vs. Blue.
What this does tell me, though, is that there's space in the market for one more console.
for X to be where the circle button is on the PlayStation controller?
No, in the Y.
Controller.
It would be where a triangle is, yeah.
It'd be in the Y.
Top.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Never mind. Wait, no, there isn't... Oh, I mean, the one on the Nintendo controllers is kind of like up. It's not on the right. There isn't one on the right yet.
Yeah, because it's...
No, I thought...
Nintendo has it at the top.
Is Nintendo at the top? It might be, because Y then, and X are so rarely used.
Yeah,
Y and X are top left and top right.
Yeah, you're
then,
right. Never mind. So it would be on the left side.
X reloads.
It does. It's useful.
It confirms, too, in PlayStation.
Unless it's some games.
I was just saying, actually in PlayStation 2. In PlayStation, like in Gearin's Greed, X is back, and circle is confirmed.
Which is PS2,
it's actually Japanese games that do that.
But I play it on emulator, so I can bind that.
Biznatch.
No, A is now circle. Take that.
Wait, what?
You are defeated. So you like Stardom Doom Forces the most, Ed. Any final words you want to say on it?
I think it's a good game if you can get into it. I like the story. I actually grew to care about the characters. two of them. The only two of them, really.
I'm way more excited for Jedi Knight Academy Force.
There's another Dark Forces in between there.
I feel like you should just play Doom. And I don't even like Doom that much. But
Doom is a great game.
Doom is a better game than this, and it's more important historically. And it has more original going on, despite the fact that it totally copied Metallica and Pantera music.
I mean, it copied
also,
stylistically.
No, Doom.
Listen to a MIDI from Doom next to, like, the song they're copying.
I don't know which songs they're trying to copy.
Well,
so.
There are a bunch of YouTube compilations.
Okay.
It's super obvious.
Was that legal? Did they ever get sued over that?
No, they didn't, but no one cared.
Okay.
Really? Metallica didn't care about
piracy? Yeah, they're kind of douches about that, so.
Yeah, but they don't know about video games. They're incapable.
Also, it's entirely possible that they had just enough of it to skirt the legality of it.
I mean, also, it's not played on the same instruments. It's, you know, MIDI stuff, so they might have had a decent case there. Especially when they had just invented this new thing, this synthesizer.
Man, Daft Punk have been doing that for like 10 years, 20 years at that point.
They might have skirted it because of the new media, the new medium as well. So that they'd... That was something
true.
Not very many people were familiar with.
The difference between a computer scientist and an engineer.
Also, it sounds different depending on your sound card. Because
oh, really?
Of the way that worked, yeah. Like, there was a time in the late 90s where they made sound cards that tried to play actual guitars for MIDI noises and such. Most of them ended up sounding terrible because the MIDIs were played with the idea that they would be synthesized drums and guitar. But, so let's see, Wheel of Last Time on Video Games, turn. Tell me the host that should pick the next video game.
Earn.
And I believe it's Zach.
I think it is, actually.
So, Zach, what are we playing next week?
Well, I think we're going to go with a game.
So, Zach, what are we playing next week?
I'm answering the question. We're going to go with a classic game that I've never heard of before called Star Soldier.
Are there stars?
Do they fight in a Star War?
Perhaps.
Do they have a trek involved?
Again,
are
maybe.
Are they the only light in the universe? Kind of like a firefly. A
little bit, yeah.
You're supposed to Babylon 5. You failed me.
I've never seen Babylon 5.
Yeah, neither have I, but...
It's
I know,
great show you guys should both watch. That's the podcast we should make.
No.
I'm way more on board with the Gundam podcast. Anyway, next...
I think we could knock out 5 episodes of Gundam a week. That's about how fast the plot moves. Then we would be different from all those other shows that watch only 1 episode per week.
Well, at any rate, let's do Star Soldier. We'll talk about the other stuff later.
Yeah, next time on Last Time, totally the Gundam podcast. Or Star Soldier, we'll see. This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games, copyright 2014.
All the video games and other media mentioned herein are copyright of their respective owners.
Unfortunately, I don't own Square Enix. You can contact us at LTOVG at lasttimeonvideogames.com, or Tyler at lasttimeonvideogames.com,
or Jeremy, G-E-R-E-M-Y, at lasttimeonvideogames.com,
and the best one, Zach, at lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Our primary source of interaction is lasttimeonvideogames.com, where you can find all sorts of written material in addition to the podcast.
If you want to follow us on Google+, plus.google.com/plus/lasttimeonvideogames.
If you're one of those weird people who uses Twitter, we are at LTOVG.
Quick, press X. Too late. You failed. The podcast is over. So you liked Ed the most, Ed?
Yes, I'm the best.